Live from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Madera County is located in the Central Valley with Modesto to the north and Yosemite to the east. The agricultural community in the San Joaquin Valley is home to a Latino majority, where roughly one-fifth live in poverty, and access to health care is slim. That became even more challenging this month. The county's lone community hospital closed its doors, and with it, the three clinics residents relied on. And there are signs other community hospitals across the state are struggling to stay open and may suffer the same fate. Joining us are CalMatters reporters Ana Ibarra and Nicole Foy, who dove into the financial health of community hospitals across California and the consequences for residents. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Good morning, Vicky.
Nicole, I want to start with you. Both of you are located in the Bakersfield area, but you actually traveled out to Madera County. Paint a picture of the people that live and call Madera County home.
Well, so many of the people who live in Madera County, and particularly the ones who are really relying on this hospital, work in agriculture because it is such a sprawling agricultural area. You know, there's almond orchards everywhere. A couple of people who I spoke to live right next to those almond orchards. And it's really a community that is also kind of sometimes suffering the effects of living among all of this agriculture. Many folks who I interviewed discussed long-term chronic conditions like asthma or other breathing issues or other things that they believe come from living among a lot of pesticide exposure. But also, too, it's a community that, like you said, is Latino majority and has a lot of immigrants who are working in agriculture and also a pretty significant Oaxacan indigenous community, too. And these are all groups that are really going to be affected by the loss of this hospital.
You also are someone who grew up in the San Joaquin Valley. So that gives you, I mean, not only as a journalist, but just as a person, an intimate understanding of the needs of healthcare and the disparities that exist.
Yeah, it's. I grew up in Bakersfield, and you know, it's bigger than Madera. It's a little bit different, but there's always been this understanding that the Central Valley doesn't have quite as many resources as other parts of the state, and that was really a lot of the frustration that I think we were hearing from both elected officials and residents themselves. Just there's already kind of a really thin line of resources in places like Madera County, and that line just got much thinner.
So with all of that context, how crucial was this hospital in Madera County to the community, and not just the hospital, but the clinics?
Yeah, this hospital also had, I think, something that some people have forgotten is that this hospital also has several clinics that were in very like rural areas. Like I went out to one in Mendota with one of our photographers, and we were speaking to folks who were coming to pick up their medical records right before the clinic closed. And many of them didn't know, you know, they were trying to make plans to who their next primary care physician was going to be. They were already traveling pretty far to reach that clinic, and that clinic was already filling a really crucial need in the community. And then you also have others who are trying to, you know, map out how quickly they're going to have to get to an emergency room now, how quickly they are going to have to call an ambulance if they have something like a really serious asthma attack, and they have to wait for this ambulance to come and find them out in their little house next to an almond orchard. And these are things that I think are really going to have long range impacts, because this was also a hospital, I think, that served a lot of people who maybe didn't really go to medical care, always use a primary care physician unless they were going in for emergency care. And that has really long-lasting effects on your overall health. And now that emergency care is not available either.
Yeah, what I'm learning from you is that, you know, an already thin line of resources in the Central Valley just became even thinner.
Yes. Yeah, that's accurate.
Yeah, what other options are there when, I mean, we do have good hospital systems across the state. How long would it take for someone in Madera County to travel to a hospital?
I think one of the things that, it can add, anywhere from between 20 to 30 minutes, depending on what type of care that you're going to need. There is still a chain of urgent cares, Camarina Health, that has really, from what we've been told, stepped up and expanded urgent care hours. But that's not always an option for folks who have been relying on Madera Community. And of course, there were people who were already getting their medical care in Fresno, if they had doctors that they preferred, but especially a lot of the people who were on, for example, Medi-Cal, I think something like, if I remember correctly, 60% of the hospital's norm like visits were generally Medi-Cal. That's a pretty significant loss for those folks.
And I just think about how a hospital is more than just medical care because you're part of the community. You have a unique understanding of the needs of the community, which is incredibly diverse. And there are a lot of barriers, language barriers included. What are the unforeseen or even perhaps the overlooked consequences of a hospital closure of this kind in Madera County?
I think one of the things that when we spoke to experts about this really just brought up, the impacts that we're not going to see quite yet on things like help for people with chronic conditions. Also, a hospital like this is kind of the center of a number of things, like a public health apparatus, as well as outreach and building long-lasting relationships with folks, for example, in the Oaxacan indigenous community. A number of those folks who live in the Madera area, Spanish is not their first language either. They may speak Zapotec or Mixteco, and that's something that it's really hard to replace immediately. And even the loss of it for just a few months, if the hospital does only remain closed for that long, which is a hope. That's something that's going to be very difficult to replace because those relationships didn't pop up overnight.
Anna, you also looked at this from a bigger picture and even looking at other hospitals across the state. Before we get to that, what did you learn about the root causes of Madera County's lone hospital for adults closing?
Yeah, so it seems like this has been a conversation for a very long time. Madera Community Hospital was negotiating with Trinity Health, the owner of St. Agnes Medical Center in Fresno County. And so the idea was that this hospital would come in by the hospital and really keep it in the community. That deal fell through at the end of December. And they sort of pointed fingers to the attorney general. The attorney general, state attorney general, is responsible for, he oversees hospital or healthcare mergers that include a nonprofit. And Madera Community Hospital is a nonprofit hospital. So the attorney general posted conditions that Trinity Health would have to meet in order to purchase or for the state to approve the purchase of the hospital. And so, among those conditions were some price caps. And while we never got an answer from Trinity Health on what specifically, pushed them to pull out of the deal, industry people I talked to, including the California Hospital Association, explained that when you put price caps on this type of deal, it could really just make it difficult for that new buyer to pull the hospital out of the financial situation it is in.
I mean, the past few years for hospitals has been a strain financially across the state and across the country. And we're talking about smaller community nonprofit hospitals. What does this say about the state of these smaller hospitals compared to these healthcare systems?
Yeah, so the most of the hospitals we're hearing about are independent hospitals, so these have no affiliation to a larger health system, which means fewer resources. These hospitals are tend to also really serve primarily low-income populations and are heavily reliant on programs like Medi-Cal. And for as long as I can remember, there's always been this conversation about Medi-Cal reimbursements being too low and that Medi-Cal payments to providers don't cover the cost of care. And so the argument is that these hospitals have for a long time been underfunded. And of course, then you add, you know, the pandemic to the mix. And as you know, Vicky, the hospital lobby has since the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic been sort of sounding the alarm that these hospitals, especially smaller independent hospitals, are losing records amount and that we could eventually see these closures or service reductions. But for the most part, you know, federal COVID relief dollars kept hospitals afloat or at least offset some of their losses. But now that money is largely gone, and these hospitals are still having to respond to COVID waves every so often. And, you know, that includes one of their biggest expenses, which is contracted labor, like travel nurses.
Yeah, right. Because travel nurses during this time, I mean, they were getting paid, you know, compared to a full-time nurse in the same position, a lot more money per hour.
Right, right. One hospital I spoke to out in Visalia, who, you know, their CEO there has been pretty outspoken about their situation. He's expecting to have his, you know, toughest fiscal year. And, you know, he mentioned that he pays about $200 an hour for every travel nurse he has. And his contract labor rates right now are at the highest they've ever been because, you know, there's a deep labor. We've been reporting on this too, a deep labor shortage across, you know, healthcare in general.
Yeah, aside from Visalia, you've been talking with other hospitals as well that are concerned about their financial state and may be at risk of falling down that same path of potentially closing. What are you learning from them?
Yeah, I think one of the more severe cases that we're hearing about is a hospital out in San Benito County and in Hollister, Hazel Hawkins. You know, they put out or they declared financial emergency late last year, and they are now estimating to run out of cash in mid-March. And so we'll be following that because I know right now they are sort of scrambling to find solutions. You know, they did recently get a loan from the state, but I'm sure it's going to take a lot more than that $3 million loan to keep them afloat. So we'll be keeping an eye on that hospital to see, you know, what sort of solutions they can come up with in this pretty short window.
In the meantime, Anna, what is the state doing to help? What can it do?
Yeah, so, you know, I know we spoke to Senator Caballero, one of the legislators that's been pretty involved with the Madera Community Hospital and in conversations with local officials there too. You know, she did say they are, you know, trying to help sort of guide as the county in whatever they may need. You know, the state as of now, they haven't put up, from my understanding, any money as of now. I mean, it's not my understanding from what Senator Caballero told us, you know, it's not necessarily in the state's purview to reopen hospitals, but they can provide guidance and they could provide some financial help, like the loan that they provided to Hazel Hawkins. I know that the hospital association is asking for two things from the state, and one is for them to really revisit the Medi-Cal reimbursement rates, and also they are asking for a one-time $1.5 billion ask to help hospitals that are currently in danger of potentially closing. But again, we're also, you know, the state is facing a deficit right now. So I don't know what the chances of that happening are. But I know that there is a lot of conversations going on about how to help these hospitals.
Nicole, I mean, after hearing all of that, what do Madera residents do in the meantime? What are they telling you?
Madera residents, so the ones I spoke to are really, I mean, some of them are distraught. Really, they are either frantically looking for new options for their loved ones or in themselves, or they are just waiting for answers. And honestly, I think kind of frustrated, you know, with any number of people associated with this, that there aren't more answers forthcoming. And honestly, there might not be some answers for some time, but a lot of folks are, you know, hoping to try to, a lot of folks spoke to me because they wanted to spread the message that this cannot go on like this. This is going to become difficult pretty quickly. And many experts and local officials are really worried about deaths that will occur from this or from conditions that will go undiagnosed or chronic illnesses that will not get the treatment that they need. And we won't even be able to see the impacts of that for a while. But I think people in Madera County are really urgently looking for some type of assistance, whether that's the state or someone else to come and fill this really necessary resource that they need. Mm-hmm.
Finally, I want to ask the both of you this, because we don't necessarily think about healthcare until we need it in an emergency situation. What do you want people to take away from this piece of your reporting? Nicole, I'll start with you.
I mean, I think especially when it comes to healthcare in areas like the Central Valley that are often many parts of the valley are already on every list when it comes to, disadvantaged populations or under-resourced populations. And you can't wait until something dramatic like this happens to kind of build up the resilience of these areas, because there are people who frankly will suffer pretty severely when that happens and who cannot wait until an emergency catches state attention. I think some of these areas we need to turn our attention to earlier rather than waiting for an emergency.
Yeah. And when there's an actual closure. Anna, what about you?
Yeah. You know, I think thinking about this reporting in terms of California really has, I think if you ask any, you know, health policy person, they would about the achievements of California. We talk a lot about California doing a good job in expanding access to healthcare, specifically Medi-Cal for low-income populations. But we know that having, you know, Medi-Cal insurance doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get the care, a timely care that you need. And so, you know, I think as we talk about the California's expansion of insurance coverage, we also need to really focus on what type of care these people or these communities are receiving. So it's just spurring a lot of ideas on what to, you know, cover and think about next.
Anna and Nicole, thank you so much for your reporting and taking the time to join us.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Anna Ibarra and Nicole Foy are reporters for CalMatters, sharing their reporting about Madera County's Lone Hospital closing its doors earlier this month and concern that other hospitals of its kind across the state may suffer the same fate. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.